We sang, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And we sang, yea, all I need in thee to find. Briefly hear the order of the service. Dwight will come in a moment and give us the meditation. And I'll have some comments before we give your individual expressions to the ministers, but I will also give time at that time if there's someone who would like to say something publicly. And then we will have our announcements at the end.
Greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here. I'm not sure how many of you look forward to this kind of service tonight, or how many look at it as, well, we're going through this form again, here we go. I'm not sure how you look at it, but I like to say it's up to the individual of how much we get out of an evening like this. Now, granted, I have something to do with it tonight because I'm up here, and I want to share something that's worthwhile, but there's preparation that needs to take place with each one of us to have a meaningful time, I believe. I'd like to look briefly at the four, maybe what we would call sort of the four typical expressions that we make in a preparatory service. What are the four questions? Who has one of them? Someone offer one. Okay, peace with God and man. Count that as one. What's the next one?
Or
a desire to go along with communion. Third one. I'm sorry. Okay, supportive of the church and the willingness to approach and be approached. Thank you. I'd like to just briefly look at these four. Looking at the first one of, I have peace with God and with man. Can we truly have peace with God without having at least some semblance of peace with man? The Bible says, as much as is possible, live in peace. But I think, as far as we're concerned, we can be at peace with the other people. They may not be at peace with us, but I think we have a part to do to be at peace with other people. Colossians 3, 14 and 15, and this is, just prior to this, it talks about body life. Starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. So here we see that the peace of God ruling in our hearts, when it rules in our hearts, we have peace this way, but it's also in the context to which we are called in a body. It's peace with each other. In Ephesians 2, another familiar passage, and again, in the context of there were foreigners, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, and we had these people of the promise, the Israelites. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I looked at that first part of it, sounds like it's broken down that wall of partition between me and God. And that may be an application we can make. But as I look at the context here, going down to verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God. So I think in the context here, it's talking he, God, or Jesus Christ, is our peace, but it impacts our peace with each other. even those who have differences of backgrounds and we come from different perspectives. And then later on in the last part, well, verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then in the end it talks about this building fitly framed together. We as a body of Christ are to be tightly knit together. And also in 1 John 4, this talks about, well, let me just read that. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. It's not very hard to understand, is it? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. When we love each other, we work towards peace. The second point, being supportive of the church, and I'd like to say this sort of a two-pronged thing. I think when we are in support of the church, one would be looking more at the doctrines of the church, the teachings that we have. And maybe for this one, I would say we should be in agreement on doctrine. And then the second one, when it comes to practice, it's more of, I agree to support the practice, even if we might not, the way we think, we might not agree with all the details, but we agree to support. And the doctrines, recently we had an instruction class going through quite a bit of the doctrines. We have doctrine of God, which covers the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have the seven ordinances, non-resistance, separation, and so on. I think we should be pretty solidly agreed on doctrine as a church. But then it's also an agreement to support the church the way it comes to practice. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, a verse that I like. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And that's where a place where we have just a good opportunity to be subject one to another. Yes, I might not agree with the stand that the church has taken here, but I submit to what the body has chosen. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Romans 12:10. This is after the different giftings and so on in chapter 12. And then in 9 it starts with, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And I think when it comes to this thing of supporting what the church has agreed on, it's saying, you know, I may not perfectly agree, but I'm going to trust the decision of the church body above my own thinking. And I think there's safety in that, if there's a scriptural church, a spiritual church, to do that. Going on to the third point, a willingness to approach and be approached. I think often when we look at the first one of to approach someone, we often think of it in a corrective way. But I'd like to say, isn't there a good place to approach each other in affirmation? Brother, I just noticed that you have whatever. You're living more victorious. You have this look in your face that's encouraging. You are ministering to needs. And we affirm each other in the good that is there. Maybe if we would do this more consistently, there wouldn't be as much need for the corrective part. Might not eliminate it. But I'd like to look at the approaching a little more as being an affirmation of each other and positive rather than a negative thing. And when there are times when correction does need, again, Ephesians 4:15, that familiar verse that says, speaking the truth in love needs to be in love. And then also the thing of willing to be approached. Just having an openness to allow someone else to speak into my life and accepting it. had some verses, but I think I'll leave that. Time's moving on. The fourth one, a desire to participate in communion. Communion. Strong's a few synonyms. Partnership, participation, fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 starts, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." And then he goes on and speaks about the idolatry. And in 21, it just says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." And James 3 talks about, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Just doesn't work. And as we think of coming to communion, if we partake of the body of Christ, if we do that from our heart, we cannot from our heart take of the table of the devil. They're opposites. It just doesn't work. We cannot from the heart identify with both Christ and the devil. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The fellowship of his sufferings. Strong's has the same word in there as it used for communion. The communion of his sufferings. So I'd like to encourage us tonight. How do we view this evening? Is it a formal thing or just a form that we go through without a lot of depth? I think it should be a time of an affirmation or a renewal of an ongoing identity with Christ and to the local body right here at Center. It's this ongoing commitment and surrender to God. And it impacts how I live. And so I trust that as you make your expressions tonight, we don't always formally require everyone to go through all four steps necessarily. It's more share what's on your heart. But I think it's important that we look at communion as it's between me and God, but it's also involving the brotherhood. It's a commitment to the body, and it's important. Might you to kneel in prayer with me? Father in heaven, sometimes it's tough to identify with you in the sufferings. We like comfort. We like to have things nice. And Lord, tonight as we make our expressions, I just pray that it would be a renewal of a willingness to surrender our wills to your Lordship, regardless of what the cost may be. Lord, I pray that this evening would be a time of worship, a time of active body life, encouraging each other, and of bringing glory to you. You are worthy, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.